And I want to thank you so much for staying with us this morning here on the Kenai Conversation again. Topic today, all things Nikiski. And we've got in the studio Stacy Oliva and Dan Gregory. They are with Citizens for Nikiski Incorporated. And before we get into talking about Citizens for Nikiski Incorporated, that effort toward incorporation, and some of the things that are coming up a little bit later this year for that effort, I wanted to get into some things that are happening sort of right now on the ground. In fact, this week, yet another LNG meeting coming up, and this one put on by the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation. But whoever wants to kind of go first, Dan, if you want to go first, and maybe we'll kind of start there and talk about this meeting that's coming up on Thursday and some of the topics there and what folks are thinking about LNG in Nikiski right now.
Well, I can't speak for everybody, but there's a lot of concern. You got the road routes that are being decided upon which way they're going to go. That's could affect a lot of property owners. And so there's a lot of concern about it. There's the meeting as Thursday night is for people have been invited that live along the pipeline corridor that have property and also around the plant. And it's going to be a safety features of the plant and they've been advertising it in the paper, of course, daily.
Sure. And yeah, a lot to talk about. And just a couple of weeks ago, the local advisory commission meeting. And Stacy, I know you were at that meeting. And Dan, you're on that commission. Maybe tell us a little bit about what that effort is. That was a group that the new mayor, Borough Mayor Charlie Pierce, put together. And mostly, as I understand it, an effort to get that really local feedback, not just borough feedback, but Nikiski feedback is kind of the idea behind that.
That is an accurate statement.
Yeah.
If Dan wants to speak to it, because he is on that committee that the borough, that we are grateful as a citizen of Nikiski, I am grateful that the new borough mayor had the insight to put that committee together to be a representative voice of Nikiski.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Dan, talk a little bit about that, because there have been a couple of meetings so far, and where are things at with that?
Well, we've had two meetings under our belt. The first one was pretty much organizational, trying to figure out what we're going to do. The second one, a little bit about that. Right now, we're trying to get as much input from the public as possible about the different concerns that people have so that we can bring that up to the AGDC. And the mayor. I mean, it's going to go through the mayor and the assembly first so they can, let them know what our concerns are. But it's everything from the road to property values to emergency services. There's a long list of things, schools, what the impact is going to be for how many people are coming here to work and property and what's going to happen. It's just a potpourri of many things that some probably we haven't even thought of yet. And I think that most people are probably looking forward to something happening. I mean, changes are there, and we have a certain amount, I'm sure, that are against it. But I think no matter what, if it goes forward, we need to be prepared. And that's pretty much what our group wants to do is if it's coming, we need to be prepared. I mean, if it can't be stopped or needs to be positively pushed so that we can have something good out of it for the community.
Right. And that seems to one of the big questions that I've I love that word potpourri to describe all this huge variety of things that people are kind of focused on and how it might affect them personally. The biggest question that I've heard come out of the various meetings that I've been to is simply, when will there be a decision made so that we can actually start planning? Because you can sort of throw ideas out and here's what we'd like to see happen and all this kind of stuff. But until you know that there is a project to plan for, it's kind of hard to plan for those things a little bit. Yeah.
And I think that's a good segue into what we were doing prior to this AKLNG or the LNG process as citizens who are seeking incorporation for Nikiski. There are so many unknowns, and we don't have an established local government in place to be the voice of Nikiski. And that was our goal as citizens to just have that foundational base. We're an independent type of folk out in Nikiski. And so we were proposing a non-traditional form of local government to have a foundational basis. Mm-hmm. For anything. Changes in the future are going to happen. Nikiski has changed in the last 30 and 40 years. So we just don't know what kind of changes or how fast that those will take place.
You know, something that I noted in looking at the website, by the way, it's remind us of the website again,
NikiskiInc.org.
NikiskiInc.org. And I was going over that website and looking at the folks who are on the board and yourself and Dan. Something that's interesting and popped out at me is everyone's got, since, you know, how long they've lived there.
Yes.
And that is that's something that we hear a lot in community meetings. But why is that important to specifically note that? I'm just curious about that. I guess that's not something you see very often, you know, years of residence laid out like that. But that's it's telling of how long you've lived there and to a degree maybe what the place means to you. Is that kind of it?
That was a lot of the message behind that, was to let folks know that this conversation, this idea of incorporation has been around for many years, and it's been attempted in Nikiski since the 70s.
Right.
And that it's a lot of homesteaders, a lot of residents who've lived there for a long time, and then also some people have newly moved into the area. We wanted to have a broad range of representation. But there's comfort in knowing that people who have been established and have lived there for a long time and may have homestead roots, there's comfort in knowing that they're looking out for the future generations.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of ties in all of this. I think we're going to be kind of winding in and out of the big project that everyone's focused on, and also this effort and idea about incorporation. That local input, again, the advisory committee being put together and those sorts of things. One thing I wanted to ask, because I haven't had a chance to actually look at the map yet. I know it was just produced a couple of weeks ago, and the map we're talking about is the map for the proposed Kenai Spur Highway reroute. And there were a couple of options that had been winnowed down and been brought back for some comments, and then Richard McGann. Stacey, I believe you know him.
I do know him quite well, actually.
Yes. And then he had an idea for a third option. Could maybe one of you has seen the map and could describe what that new route is a little bit. And I should also mention for our audience, Assembly Member Wayne Ogle joining us in the studio as well. And Wayne, thank you so much for being in here this morning. Good to see you.
I apologize for being late. I'm here.
That's all right. We're going to have a good time anyway. Dan, could you kind of describe maybe in sort of rough terms what that route is?
Well, first, I just kind of like to say that, you know, Wayne Ogle was instrumental with the mayor in getting that advisory committee going, too. And I just want to make sure that he gets credit for the time and energy he's put into a lot of these things. So
he's at all the meetings, too.
Yes. But the route, anyway, it would come out of Kenai between where the car wash and the car dealership is right mm-hmm. there, where it's Marathon Road, that entrance there.
Yep.
It would go there, and it would come out and go past the end of the airport. Now, it'd go further past the end of the airport because there's going to be a possible airport expansion, so they're leaving land there for that to go. And then it'll come across mental health lands and stay pretty much on a public land all the way to Holt Lamplight area, where from there it goes across... And there's a few private parcels, according to what Richard has mm-hmm. said. And then it goes down and goes across and hits Miller Road, right close to Island Lake Road.
So it's not exactly the escape road. It's not quite that route. It's something different.
No, it's something totally different. It stays on state land, so to keep the cost down,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't disrupt hardly any people compared to the other two routes.
Right, because if memory serves, I believe of the two routes proposed by AGDC, the sort of the lesser of two evils was still something like 35 different property owners or around there, and that's a lot to deal with for residents, for sure.
Exactly, and some of it would be just maybe portions of their property, but then there was some homes, some different parts that would be affected. Of course, it's really hard to tell until they get down to the final, you know, surveying and actual, but you know, just from where they drew the lines on the map, you don't have as exact clear picture, but you know, and then just that's a lot of people to be affected.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen this when I was a young man living in Wisconsin, and they, you know, people's property that were highways went through, and farms and property were cut in half, and it's It's not really very pretty.
So. Yeah. And Wayne, I'd like to get your sort of two cents on this and just the sort of broad general question. When all these things are going on, you've been, again, a proponent of the idea and the effort for incorporation and brought some stuff forward to the assembly at various times. And why do you think that's important? I'll just open that broad question up.
Well, I think
get nice and close there.
I think the project itself is going to be, I think, very good for Alaska. I think it's needed for Alaska. And also, I think our community certainly would benefit from it. We were talking about that spaghetti map. And unfortunately, when that came out, it was Alaska LNG that was running the project. They were a corporate group. And they had no money going forward, and they kind of left this spaghetti map on the table for all the residents to really stew about. And they had no intention at that time or funds to be able to do anything further. And I thought that was a very serious mistake on their part and unfair to the residents. However, that's now been we're now picked up the gauntlet, and we're down to two. And from what I understand from AGDC, they will be selecting the final site in June. I do hope and urge them to score Mr. McGann's route just like they did the others to see how it would come out. The scoring is based on usual DOT, seven or eight different criteria, right-of-way costs and other wetlands and all that consideration. What I don't know and what I'd be interested in asking and finding out is how much they weight them, each one of those categories. Each one has a different weight.
Yeah.
And I think that is something I'd like to know more about.
Yeah. And again, as we've been talking about, so much going on and so much involved with this. And again, so to kind of tie it back into the incorporation effort, I wanted to step back to last fall when Assembly Member Ogle brought a resolution forward to the assembly and tabled that. And just maybe kind of take us back and bring us up to speed maybe from that point last fall when we heard back from the local boundary commission. There was a resolution before the assembly and then decided to kind of take a break, take some time off to regroup and kind of reformulate some things. And sort of where are we now with the effort sort of in general? And Stacy, maybe you can speak to that.
Sure. What we did as petitioners, we were able to stop the clock and file for amendment. So we had 1 year mm-hmm. to make any changes or adjustments, and we will be putting in an amended petition. So the clock will start again after October 12th.
Yeah, and so that's given plenty of time. And so, the big question is looking back at it, what are some of the changes? What are some of those amendments that have been made to sort of satisfy what the local boundary commission was seeking as they went over the first application, the first process, part of the process?
Sure. One of the questions that always arises is, what about the boundaries? What about the boundaries?
Let's describe those real quick for folks who don't know. It ends up being, the way they were initially drawn is a very, very big boundary because it extends beyond over to the west side of Cook Inlet. And
takes in some, what it is a Nikiski Fire Service area.
Right.
And so it takes in west side and some wilderness areas, and some of those things need to be amended in the process of what we're doing. The reason why that the Nikiski Fire Service area was selected is there is, according to the Constitution, there is a priority to those service areas. Those are established, essentially local government.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are an established service area is what is typically taken into an incorporated area.
Yeah, when you're looking at it, just sort of to, kind of teeing it up and getting the process rolling with the Boundary Commission, it would make sense to go with sort of the lines that already exist on a map.
Correct.
And kind of go from there.
Correct.
I'm really curious, getting over onto the west side of the inlet there, the native village of Tyonic, they certainly have opinions about having been incorporated into the borough for one, but then about this as well. Talk maybe a little bit about how that relationship is and what those discussions are with folks in Tyonic.
Sure. Actually, Dan has been to Tyonic and has met with Tyonic a couple times. Maybe he can speak to that.
Well, you have two entities there. You have the village and the corporation.
Right.
And, of course, they filed a brief when we had the first petition in, and they're against it. Of course, we will honor that. I mean, we're definitely working on to see how we're going to do that. Our biggest reason for it, besides the fire service area, is that those people were getting service from us. The fire department, the rec service, seniors
service,
at that time, they were getting services from that. And we didn't want to leave them out. An example of that would be for myself, many years ago, when another incorporation process, I live on Holt Lamplight Road, and I was left out of the area of incorporation. And of course, it would have fractured the fire department and the other services that we had for the limits that they had. And it was a small size incorporation at the time.
Yeah.
And of course, I was against that. So, but I didn't want to be left out. I wanted to be in the community of Nikiski, which I've always felt has been the fire service area, and it's been that way for many years.
Yeah. Yeah, again, going back to that, what makes sense sort of on the map that exists now, but so to the amendments that were made, how much of a change was made to what the boundaries would look like and what specific areas would be incorporated? Is there a lot of the west side of the inlet kind of cut out of that now, or?
We're still in the process of working on that, and we have not put anything into submission yet. So.
Yeah.
In for submission, for review.
Yeah, because it won't be until this coming fall,
correct.
October.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. So again, 283-8414 is the number. If you have questions about goings on the North Road and all the big projects planned and efforts toward incorporation in Nikiski, 283-8414. Again, joined this morning on the Kenai Conversation with Stacy Oliva, Dan Gregory, and Wayne Ogle. And that is the topic today. And again, maybe we could kind of talk about what the big question when you're going for incorporation is essentially what services would be provided in the future that aren't being provided now by whatever sort of government entity is controlling this area. And so I would, I open that question up to you folks, and what would be the new services? What would be the sort of the force for change and the reason that we'll start calling it the LBC, the Local Boundary Commission, for them to say, yes, indeed, you do need to start doing this for yourself?
We're beginning our public meetings again, mm-hmm. as our Citizens for Nikiski Incorporation to put some ideas out there. In our petition, we had one of the questions is the police.
Right.
And that keeps coming up. And as a community group, our commitment to Nikiski was that as they had just voted on Lisa and it had been voted down, we would not impose a police department upon incorporation. We put it in there. I personally feel like we do need some sort of police presence in Nikiski, but I want that to go to the vote of the people of Nikiski. That was not something that our principles were, that it had to go to a vote of the people. It is in our petition. The LBC staff did not review it that way. It is in there to go to a vote of the people.
Yeah. And law enforcement I'm glad you brought that up, because that's an interesting subject, because, and Dan or Wayne, feel free to jump in on this. In recent years, property crime has been an issue in Nikiski. Response time from state troopers, going all the way from Soldotna up to Nikiski has been an issue. And especially when you start getting into state budgets and there not being enough time for troopers to go up there for sort of routine things that just take time. They're up there essentially now, as I understand it, more for emergency response than anything else. And so what are your feelings are in terms of what that sort of community need is? I know, again, everybody has different opinions on it, but what is that need for a community police presence there to keep an eye on some of these things and, again, handle some of that more in-depth kind of community policing as opposed to just emergency response? And you can, Dan or Wayne can weigh in on this.
Well, that's the old one. It's like the chicken and the egg, that there's never a cop around when you want one, but when you want one right now. And there definitely is a need at times to have them. And the troopers, with their budget cuts and everything else, they're tasked with a huge area as well to cover. And we need to come up with something either as a state or as a community. Just to get back on what Stacy said a little bit earlier, a home rule city, which what we're going for, that allows us basically unlimited amount of what we can decide on as services for the people. So I think that's the biggest part there, is that it's up to the people living in that area to decide then for themselves what they'd like to have. And that's the other thing with the Boundary Commission and how it's set up, is that it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. They want you to get the whole thing going and say what you're going to do, and you really can't without talking to the people and getting the people involved. And we want things to go to the people so the people can decide.
Right, and Wayne?
I just wanted to add that I work for Bethel as well as Kenai as a public works director, and I kind of observe the budget process there. Police departments are the most expensive item in the municipality, and Stacy and Dan are exactly right. That's such a big expense for a community, a municipality, that they need to decide how they want to do that, rather than have it imposed on them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up, you know, the Home Rule City. I'd like to kind of go over sort of the basics of what a municipality, what a city of Nikiski would look like in terms of the sort of administrative structure, the municipal structure. It would be, as I understand it, at least the according to the initial petition, I don't know if this has changed or not, but, you know, eight member council and a mayor with who would vote, and yeah, kind of walk us through what it would look like.
Right. And that's, we had established a no veto power by the mayor. So it's these are volunteer positions, and they're also elected positions, and we wanted it to be a representative government, mm-hmm. and limited government. So we picked a format that was a non-traditional format. So it would be low administrative
Personnel. Yeah.
Yes, that would be a good way to say it. So city manager, city clerk, we still have our fire department chief, we still have our rec department mm-hmm. Manager. In that structure, the council weighs in, and then the voters weigh in. And we also had established a public-private partnership, which is part of that non-traditional model, which allows the opportunity for contracting of services like roads and accounting, legal. There's a whole list. And it's kind of in play in the state of Alaska already. Public-private mm-hmm. partnership of
right.
contracts go out to for different services. And it's just utilizing that avenue more consistently to keep the cost low on the taxpayers of Nikiski.
Because that's something else that, as you read through the petition, that comes up a lot is not just the ability to provide our own services, but to do so in an economic manner. Because I know that for folks in Nikiski, I know sometimes you don't always feel, when it comes to being managed and governed by the borough, there's sometimes maybe a sense that you're not getting the best bang for your buck up there sometimes. And specifically in roads, that's been one of the big issues with the effort toward incorporation is roads, because it's a huge burden of cost on the borough as a whole. And everybody wants good, smooth, clean, well-maintained roads. And those don't come at a small cost by any means. But I guess maybe talk a little bit about that aspect of it and how that would be absorbed into the city of Nikiski, the roads aspect. Dan, could you?
Well, we started the road service area, many years ago, and that, you know, it started in Nikiski. So we would like to get our road service back so that we can manage it, so that we have a lot of people that have put a lot of time and effort in researching some of the things on roads in our area, and we think we can do a better job of it and probably do it more economically, but at least get them to where they're in better shape. Now, again, we have different administrations have been in the borough. Right now we have a current administration that's very easy to work with, real forthcoming with information, and I certainly, when we talk about the borough, I want to make sure that you know it's understood that there's a good relationship going on here. But in the past, some administrations we've had a really rough time. We feel in Nikiski, at least I feel that way.
Yeah, because when you look at what an administration for the borough is looking for, they're taking care of their best interests, and if it means a big financial hit, you know, that's something that they have to look out for. Maybe that's something as a member of the assembly, Wayne, that you've had to kind of interact and deal with is that idea of there's the notion of trying to get the folks in Nikiski push toward their goal a little bit, but at the same time, there are the sort of crossing borough concerns that have the same one. So maybe you could talk about what those intersections are. I mean, roads is just one of the intersections where each has its own concern about services that would be rendered or lost and that sort of thing.
Well, as an assembly member, you do have a responsibility for the borough. You do want to do the best for the borough as an entity, as well as represent your area. So there's a balancing act there. I think this mayor has come forward in I think in a much more open manner. I had the experience of introducing a resolution that supported the right for Nikiski to incorporate, and I thought I had the votes for for that to go forward. And the previous mayor took an opportunity to really speak at length against it, and so it was very clear it was not going to pass, so that I withdrew it. And I think with this particular administration, there's a lot more positive look at it. But the mayor does have a responsibility to his borough, and he's got to make sure that that the borough is not going to be taking a hit on this either. But I think fairness is a big deal, and I think that's where we're at now with the administration.
Yeah. Do you think that as we move a little bit closer to the process, or part of the process of getting another application submitted to the local boundary commission, that a similar resolution might come before the assembly again with a hope for a different result?
Well, I certainly think so. The timing would I want to make sure the timing is right, and I think would have support on the mayor. I've talked to the chief of staff directly about it, and he said, "Oh, sure, the mayor would support the right for Nikiski to pursue incorporation."
And so. John Quick, the mayor's chief of staff, a Northroader, as yes. as the case happens to be.
I think it's important right here to also say that I think sometimes it gets forgotten that what's good for Nikiski is good for the borough. It's one of the unique caveats in this, that a lot of times if, say, the healthcare hub in Soldotna does well, it doesn't necessarily trickle to Nikiski a lot. But if Nikiski is doing well, there are benefits that go all over the borough from Nikiski. And I think it's our hope and our heart in the Nikiski incorporation process to make sure that we have a solid foundation to provide the opportunity for the best possible economic, social, all avenues, the outcome for Nikiski and the borough.
Very good. Stacey Oliva joining us this morning, along with Wayne Ogle, a member of the Borough Assembly representing Nikiski, and Dan Gregory, talking a lot about all the projects, all the big plans headed potentially Nikiski's way in the near future, efforts about incorporation, so folks in Nikiski can have a bit of a stronger voice in how those plans play out. We're to the bottom of the hour right now. A good time maybe to throw out the number again. 283-8414 is the number, but I'm going to take a few moments here to go grab some coffee. I'm going to leave you with a little Dave Brubeck, as we like to do here on the Kenai Conversation. Again, 283-8414 is the number. Here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a few moments, grab a quick break. Stay with us. And welcome back to the Kenai Conversation this morning here on KDLL, talking about all the goings on in Nikiski this morning. We've got Stacey Oliva and Dan Gregory from Citizens for Nikiski Incorporated. Wayne Ogle also joining us in the studio this morning, of course. Borough Assembly member Wayne Ogle representing the Nikiski area. And we've been talking, a lot of this stuff sort of interchanges, talking about the effort to incorporate Nikiski and the long-term effort to incorporate Nikiski and the considerations that are being made and why that's an effort that's being pursued the way it is right now. And this intersects so much with the plans for the AKLNG plant and all of those things that come along with that. And during the break, we were talking a little bit about the idea that, the borough, there are so many very valuable properties and industries in Nikiski that property taxes from which go to the borough. Scarborough, and that's spread out. Debates could be had for many, many, many years about how those property taxes get dispersed later on. But one of the ideas behind incorporation, of course, is more local control and gaining some control of some of those tax dollars. But an interesting part of it isn't that the AKLNG plant would necessarily be a windfall for the city of Nikiski in particular or specifically. That's something maybe that folks need to think about a little bit as they bat around this idea of what would a city of Nikiski look like and where would its funding come from and those sorts of things. The AKLNG plant would be whatever effects from it and property taxes. It wouldn't be property taxes at all, as we were talking before the break. A pilt.
It's going to be the
payment
plant
in lieu of taxes.
Right.
Yeah. And so what I guess that's the way that's going to be broken down. How important is it for there to be a city of Nikiski at the table to figure out what its share of that pilt money would be, as opposed to just, you know, a committee or a task force or something like that?
Well, I would say that you know, in past administrations that, you know, with the borough, we could see that Nikiski may not get its fair share because there had been different things that were said and even quotes by the past administration and mayor to where some of the money would go. And it certainly wasn't concerned with what was happening in Nikiski. So now this current administration that we have now, I feel a lot differently. I feel a little bit more comfortable about it. You know, it certainly would be nice if we did have our own entity so that we had, you know, more of a seat at the table for that. And again, thanks to Mayor Pierce for our committee, because it's, you know, just getting a voice in there is so important. Change is coming one way or another, whether this project comes or not, change is coming. And I think if you go back when you said about people, how many years had lived in Nikiski, well, I think one of the things there is that all those people have seen a lot of change from what it was first and how things change as far as government, as far as changes living conditions and different things. So I think a lot of those people have been there a long time, have seen a lot of change and know change is coming. Some people that have moved here and for the lifestyle right now, you know, they want to keep things as they are. Well, we know we would love to do that, but we need to be prepared for the change so that we can keep them as close to what they are as possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, the pilt money and the project, you know, certainly it would be nice. It's going to, like I said, affect earlier emergency services, just numerous things, medical facilities, schools, all kinds of things that are going to happen in our community more so than some other parts of the borough.
Yeah.
Now, there is going to be impact in those, and that has to be taken into account. I mean, that, you know, we can't deny that Kenai and some of the other areas are definitely going to feel some impact because we are so close together and there's going to be a lot of people. So, we have to take that into account.
Yeah, those partnerships are important going forward with the different municipalities across the borough too, I'm sure. Yeah.
I've heard statements by the one AGDC representative that the PILT funds were not incorporated, and it puts us at a different priority than what Kenai or Soldotna, that they are incorporated areas, mm-hmm. and they kind of have a little more influence, I guess you would say. So that it is a concern that we will be impacted so directly. It's not going to be a small impact on the community. We were just looking, and there's 144 parcels in routes A and B that will be infected.
Yeah, for the highway reroute.
For the highway reroute. And as long as we are not incorporated, it puts us on a little bit of a shifting ground, I guess you would say.
It's every man for himself instead of, you know, kind of in a way. So, but, you know, if the other impact that's going to happen with the LNG facility, good possibility, is that it's going to bring other things. It's going to bring other industry, and that there's going to be an impact there also. It's not going to end with just the LNG plant. So we need to be prepared for that change. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to come with availability of gas.
Yeah, and something else that I noticed from the website, and what we were talking about just a second ago, Dan, kind of remind me of it, is on the website is this great slogan: Nikiski is what Alaska was. And I just, that's such a striking sort of, that makes you think for a second. I'm curious, Nikiski is what Alaska was. What does that sort of slogan mean to you? Why was that slogan chosen? And what is that message there? Stacy or Dan or Wayne, anybody?
I think a lot of the folks established or homesteaded in Nikiski merged into the original people that were living there. They're that pioneering spirit, and they were helping their neighbors. They were, it goes back to that Alaska pioneering spirit, standing on your own two feet and making a way, whether it was fishing, hunting, trapping, you know, living a real subsistence life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been something that's kind of come down through the years, through the generations. And that's why people are drawn to Nikiski. There's still avenues. There's still larger pieces of land. You can build a cabin in the woods still in Nikiski. So it does represent what Alaska was.
And we think of that maybe it's just me, but we think of that general notion as being maybe a kind of a throwback, a little old fashioned and in some terms kind of romanticized, but still very much possible. But also, talking about how much change this area has seen. And so part of all of what you were just describing, Stacy, is also sort of the capacity to adapt to change and accept things as they come and work with that as they come. And is that something that's part of it too, Dan, is making all this stuff kind of work together? Because we don't often think about, you know, a traditional subsistence lifestyle right across the road from a giant gas plant, but this is a place where it does sort of happen like that. And so is that the point, is to maintain this in some way?
Yeah. To try to keep people's lives from, you know, that they're used to, that they like, you know, to be able to go out and fish in the stock lakes and pick berries here and there. A lot of people, you know, go on other people's property. And I mean, usually it's pretty, you know, pretty agreeable for people to move around and do things, you know. And of course, the more people we get and the more things that change, you know, that we don't want those things to change. People want to raise farm animals on their property next to other people. They want to have blue tarps on there. That's one of the famous ones that said, you know, is that, you know, for regulations and stuff. And said, we want to have a functional community that has the things that the community needs, but we also want it to be what the community wants. And I think that's very important. And that's been one of the really hardships about making sure that this petition and that we're including everybody as much as we can. You know, is everybody going to be happy with it? No, I don't. You know, if you could make everybody be happy, well, you could patent it and be, you know, a millionaire.
We wouldn't be sitting here talking right now.
Yeah, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. But, you know, do the most good for the most people that we can. And I think that's my philosophy, whether it's on the incorporation committee or whether it's on the LNG committee, is that, you know, what's good for the people in our area and whether supporting it. I mean, I think if the LNG people will take some of these things to heart and take to concern about this, that the people in the community will get behind them if they see that they're being treated fairly. And I think that's a positive thing. And that's where I'm looking at it for our community.
Yeah. And Stacy, and I'll open this up to everyone. One of the sort of, I guess I'd call it a guiding principle, maybe that's a right term or wrong term, but this idea of a public-private partnership, something that would strike me if I'm a person in Nikiski and thinking about this is, When government provides services, there's some level of recourse. There's, you know, you've got a staff, and maybe Wayne, you could speak to this as with experience as a public works director. You know, there's stuff that city staff or borough staff know how to do maintenance-wise, those sorts of things. My concern, I guess, would be if you start farming those out, if there's not too much competition for those things, all of a sudden, instead of being able to do stuff in-house and have some control over those costs, if you farm stuff out and a contractor realizes, well, who else is going to do this? Are those concerns too about, especially when you're talking about public-private partnerships, that maybe those partnerships would be tough to maintain in a mutually beneficial way all the time? Is that a concern, or how do you find that balance, I guess?
I think the great idea behind the public-private partnership are the contracts, that you have the ability to review contracts. And if somebody doesn't meet that contract, you have the ability to fire them. You get somebody else. And as in private industry, I think there's a more opportunity to live up to a higher bar. I think sometimes in government, workmanship can get complacent, let's say.
And so, yeah, just that basic idea that we hear a lot of the profit motive and just being a job to get done as opposed to being a duty assigned, is there's a much different aspect of going about your work, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it does, it provides the opportunity to have high standards, and those contractors have to meet that high standard, whatever it is, whether it's roads, whether it's in the legal department, whether it's in accounting, the contract can be written
and
reviewed, and that's where the bottom line is on those.
And I think there'll be a downward pressure on personnel costs. I think that is always the big factor as far as running any operation organization is your personnel costs. And through contracts would have competition and keep those costs down, hopefully, and a little bit more control.
Yeah. So looking ahead a little bit, I know the process for petitioning the local boundary commission to take up the issue and give it a review process and all those things has been postponed, but we'll pick back up again this fall. Between now and then, I guess, kind of what's the agenda? What's the timeline? The big question that I had is in getting votes for this the first time around, any concern that it'll be a challenge to get those votes again? My first thought would be that it would be probably not as difficult to get them with so much more stuff going on now than there was a couple of years ago. But just kind of walk us through the process between now and October, what the goals are and how to get there.
Okay. Right now we're starting the process again of public meetings, letting people know where we're at in the amendment process and why we're amending. And so that gets the conversation going with the community. And then we have committees that are breaking down the different sections of the petition to do the amendments that we need to have done. And then, of course, there's meeting with borough officials and looking at financial aspects and transition aspects and those types of things that have to be included in that petition.
Would you anticipate the transition aspect interests me, because that could be, I mean, depending on how much thought you put into it, it could be a relatively smooth process, or if it comes together maybe in a way that you hadn't anticipated, it could be kind of a rough process, especially in terms of, you know, handing over maintenance duties or things like this. It's a future question that's kind of tough to answer, but how would you at this point kind of envision a transition process working? What would that all entail?
The state provides for a 2-year timeline for that transition to take place. So that's why it's important to get in, have the conversations, have the outline of the transition plan. And like Dan and Wayne have both mentioned, we have a positive relationship. The current administration has been very agreeable to work with, and so it puts us in a different place to be able to go have those discussions and make those plans.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, you know, kind of not to get too, you know, behind the scenes, but at all the different meetings that are going on all the time, it seems like, I'm trying to get a gauge on sort of what that level of support is. If it's been maintained at roughly the same rate over the past couple of years, the support for incorporation, or has it maybe ticked up a little bit as more and more projects seem to be on the table and more stuff's happening, or are more people kind of drawing back a little bit and saying, I don't want any of this stuff to happen, so just stay away?
A little bit more positive support with the conversation of the LNG project.
Yeah,
how about you guys?
Yeah.
Well, and yes, some, but also there's, you know, there's some people that just are not believers that, you know, that oh, it's not going to happen. We've got a diverse amount of, you know, people in their attitudes and how they look at things. So I think my biggest thing would be that no matter whether you're for it or against it, there's a good possibility that's going to happen. So we need to be prepared one way or the other, whether it's prepared by being incorporated or just preparing for the LNG project to go ahead. We need people to get involved and you know, learn about everything so that they can make an informed decision. And so that at least it, we can get it to the vote so that people are informed and they can and make a good informed decision and vote their conscience.
Right. And this is not, you know, this isn't the easiest process, and there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of stuff going on. Wayne, is there are there tips that you would have for people in terms of how they want to engage and to keep track of all of this stuff? Because it's, again, there are a lot of moving parts, and if you... It's tough to show up at one meeting with one thing on your mind, and you get there and you realize it's not really maybe the venue to talk about that. So I mean, how do people get involved and stay ahead of all this stuff?
Well, with the LNG project, we do have a committee, and we meet are going to be meeting once a month in public. And the public came last time to our meeting, and it was, I think, a very... very positive response as far as that's concerned, answering questions. AGDC is also having meetings of their own. They're going to have one Thursday, 6 o'clock, and I encourage people to go to that, you know, ask questions and get them answered. The FERC process, that's the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, has a process in which you can make comments and all that. And I can tell you that process is, I think, a positive one in that they do look at those comments and they do demand answers from the AGDC as far as what about this? What about the water supply? What about, you know, this or that? And if they aren't answered adequately, then the project will not go forward. So those are the opportunities. I do think, to your question before about whether there's more enthusiasm, the incorporation did not start based on the AKLNG project, and that's very clearly stated in the petition. However, as events now are evolving rather quickly, I think it makes a much more compelling reason for it. You know, an official government agent, you know, entity that is speaking for the people of Nikiski, and that, of course, would be, you know, the incorporation, a city of Nikiski. So I think that is something that will, I think, resonate with a lot of people, that possibility.
Yeah, yeah. And Stacy, in terms of incorporating Nikiski, incorporated the group sort of proper, any public meetings scheduled, or how is that going to play out sort of over the summer? I know that there will be some opportunities for public input. Is there anything sort of concrete yet, or how will those meetings sort of look?
Well, we're going to be attempting to have them about every 30 days. And so we're working on that schedule right now, just so that we can just, we call it the town hall meeting and mm-hmm. coffee and donut meeting, mm-hmm. Where we invite the residents into to the meeting. And then we have a question and answer. We provide a presentation mm-hmm. of where we're at. And then open it up to questions and answers.
Any notion at this point of what sort of that kind of jumping off point will be at a first town hall meeting? Just sort of a, would it be just kind of a recap of where we are now, and then where do we think we need to go for the next step? Is that kind of what the first one might look like?
We actually just had one of those on March 23rd.
Okay. So. And how did that go?
It actually went well. We had a small turnout. You know, there's always the difficulty of how do you get the word out? You know, you put it in the paper, you announce it on the radio, you send out, you know, Facebook announcements, mm-hmm. and people still say they don't know about it. So, you know, we're just doing the best we can with it. And that's why we decided that we would have more regularly occurring town hall meetings.
And so those are going to be, where can we look out for a Facebook? It would be one place, but where would be
on
sort of
the Facebook has been the best avenue, and so our Nikiski Inc. Facebook page.
Despite recent national headlines, still an effective communication tool in some parts of the world for some things.
And we also put up posters in the local restaurants and stores and gas stations as well.
You know, and we just have a couple minutes left. One thing that would occur to me is if all this stuff happens and you got a city in Nikiski and this booming industry is, And we talked about it a little bit, is are people afraid of there being, you know, like too many stores, or would people be excited to not have to drive to Kenai to go to the grocery store and these sorts of things? I don't know. That's, you could ask everybody in town and get a different answer, but in broad terms, just to kind of close it out, are we generally supportive of all the opportunities that might be presented sort of economically, development wise, or is there some reservation about it being a little too much, and making it difficult to maintain sort of what things are? That's a tough one. That's a big one.
Do you have any feedback, Dan?
Well, I, you know, you go to Kenai and you go to Soldotna right now because you have to. I mean, there's, you know, and I think overall, a lot of, I mean, you know, Kenai and Soldotna have their rivalries. I mean, there's different, you know, over the years, things that you can go back and, you know, and talk about that forever. But we're all kind of one community. And I think, you know, I talked with a city council member, and I think with us being incorporated, he had, you know, some really great thoughts about how the communities could work even closer together and accomplish some things. So I would try to look at the positive side of that. Are there going to be other stores or other businesses open up? I'm sure there are. And that's good, because that's, you know, commerce is a good thing. And I think if there's enough people to support it, that's the biggest thing, is that, you know, can you support it? Are the other communities going to see a change? Probably a little bit, but I still think people are going to go to Kenai and Soldotna and do things, and hopefully they'll come out to Nikiski if we have some things that they don't have in there, that they'll come out to see us. So that's
another one of those opportunities. Yeah. And yeah, Wayne?
Just going to say, we have a Nordstrom, so you can come here.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you, but we're just about out of time this morning. I want to thank all of you. Stacey Oliva, Wayne Ogle, Dan Gregory, thank you so much all for coming in this morning. It was great to speak with you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank
we
you
really
very
enjoyed
much.
The opportunity.
My pleasure.